It's wonderful that so many people are active in bringing us worship and focusing our focus on the Lord and what He has done for us. It's really great to see all the talented people that is used by the Lord to serve Him. God's Word speaks to us this morning from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. We're going to begin to read at verse 12 and read through verse 12 of the second chapter. I've extended the verse a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, this is God's word to us. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. And what a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow, and more knowledge is the more grief. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that has also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself, planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well. The delights of the heart of men. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me, and in all this my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for my labor. And yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. This is God's word to us. Good morning, You might be a little confused by now. I know Reverend Timmer was supposed to be preaching for you this morning, but I really had this desire that I wanted to talk to these graduates and to their families and to the congregation as well. You know, I really feel that as a preacher, I had something to say to them and to all of you, really. And so I really appreciated the fact that Pastor Bob was willing to let me preach to you this morning. I had this pressing need. I needed a good talk with some young people. I hadn't talked with anyone like that for a long, long time. Well, before I go on, I should introduce myself. I'm Solomon. king of Israel, a preacher. So now you understand how long it has been. Perhaps I should tell you a little bit more about myself. And now those who have read about me, I will refresh your memory. And like I said, I was king of Israel. Oh, I guess I should start from the beginning. My father and my mother were David and Bathsheba. I was really their second son. A brother, as you know, died at birth. And yet, as it happened in those days, my dad had several wives. So I was my father's fourth son. Because my father loved my mother so much, he promised that someday I would be the king of Israel. So you might say I was born with a spoon in my mouth, a silver spoon. And yet the road to the throne of my father David was not an easy way to go. You know, Absalom, one of my half-brothers, wanted to be king. Adonijah, my father's other son, also wanted the throne. In fact, some men even put the crown of the king on Adonijah, thinking that would make him king, but in the meantime, there was a lot of fighting going on, a lot of violence. You live in an age of violence today, and like I would later write in my book that there's nothing new under the sun. Well, my life was full of violence as well. A lot of people died, including Absalom, and I ended up killing Adonijah. But in the end, my father remembered his promise to my mother, and so my father instructed the people of Israel to put me on the throne. And with the blessing of the prophet Nathan, I took my place as king of Israel. I reigned for 40 years, from 971 B.C. to 931 B.C. And in those 40 years, if I may say so myself, I brought Israel to its golden age. Under my rule, which was known around the world as a rule of wisdom, Israel became the most powerful nation in the area and one of the wealthiest. And the peace that I had secured for them enabled them to build beautiful buildings. They were able to practice the arts. They refined their culture. Without being immodest, Israel became a great nation under my rule. So you could say that I was a success. But enough of this. I didn't come here this morning to blow my own horn. I came here to talk to you about my failures in spite of my success. Like I said, it's been a long time since I've talked to a group of yours, like a group that has already achieved some success since you're graduating from high school. Others, I suppose, are graduating from college. And I know that you all have some high ideals and of what life is all about and what life can offer you and what you want out of life and what you can contribute perhaps. And so I really appreciate Pastor Bob letting me speak to you this morning. For after all, I too am a preacher. I don't really know how many of you have read my book, Ecclesiastes. I already know that enough of you didn't because it never reached the bestseller list, but critics would call my book ridiculous. They would say, it's insane. It's written by a fool. Perhaps some of you think like that as well, but let me assure you that I was there. I mean, by that, I was successful. I was rich. I had power. I was king. I was king. Remember that. I was sitting on the very pinnacle of success and power. And you know, to be honest with you, and really honest to myself, life was meaningless. It was vanity of vanity. I mean, everything seems vain. Perhaps now you hear what you hear, you have also concluded that I'm kind of like a fool. You probably agree with the critics. But I want you to hear me out. Hear what I have to say. You know, when I was your age, I was still full of idealism too. But I was determined to give life a chance. I worked hard toward the ultimate goals of position and power and pleasure and wealth. And I worked hard. First, I tried wisdom. And being king, I had the authority to summon to my side the most educated and wise men in the world. And that is exactly what I did. I set for my soul the goal of finding truth. I wanted to know what really lies at the heart of things. Let me see, how would you put it? Perhaps you would say, I tried to put it all together, or I tried to see it like it is, with no shams, no mask. I just wanted to find truth. So I studied people, and I studied culture, and I studied philosophy and religion and astronomy. I studied all the arts. But you know what I found? I found it was empty. It was meaningless. It was like going to some of your most scholarly schools, like Yale and Harvard and Princeton, and I did that, and I applied it all, and I found that it was vanity. You know what I received from the wisest men in the world? Nothing. Nothing, really. I was considered one of the wisest people in the world. People like the Queen of Sheba would come and just want to talk with me and learn from me and hear me speak, and yet, take it from me, when you're honest with yourself, you have to say all is vanity. And so I tried something else. I said to myself, don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Live for the moment. Live for now. Do everything you can to indulge in your pleasure. Satisfy every one of your desires. And that's just what I did. And boy, did I. I didn't worry about anything. I didn't worry about mysteries of life. I didn't worry about my people's problems out there. I just left my assistants do that. I simply ate, drank, and partied. You probably heard about all my wives and mistresses and did we ever have the banquets? And did we ever have the feasts? And man, did we party. But the fun did not last. Oh, now you might be laughing at this old man, but take it from someone who's been there. Take it from me. I was their king, the king of the most prosperous nation on the planet. I mean, anything and everything was mine for the asking, but soon I got so sick of it that it made me sick. You know, when you live like an animal, you become a beast. Nothing, absolutely nothing was meaningful. But not willing to lose my dreams that easily, I took another way. I played it cool. I played a life according to the rules. I worked hard. I was conscientious. I was king, so I acted like a king. I became concerned about my people's lives, especially all of their problems, and I tried to solve them with all kinds of programs and with education. I just played it straight for a while with my people. I played it straight with my society. I even ask God for wisdom to rule this country well. And to all outward appearances, it looked like I was successful at it. I mean, I was enabled to enjoy the pleasures of life, but always discreetly, careful that I didn't offend anybody. Always careful to control my desires now according to the values of society. And yet that too was all in vain. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. As I look back on my life, I have to honestly ask, what does a man gain with all the toil that he toils under the sun? I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I plied my mind to seek and to search out wisdom all that is done under the heavens. And I have seen everything is done under the sun. And let me tell you, all is vanity and is striving after the wind. And so, young people, in my search for my American dream, if I may coin a phrase, I had forgotten about God. In all my strivings, I had forgot God. It was my own fault. I should have listened to my father, David. I mean, you know, he was really in touch with God. Why, he once prayed, and I can't believe it. I mean, it gives an insight into my father's heart. He said, "Incline my heart to your testimonies, God, and not to gain. Turn my eyes away from looking at vanities and give me life in your ways." And one of the things that I can't get out of my mind is the fact that he once wrote, "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." My father, David, knew God differently than I did. My father had a relationship to God. To my father, God was real. How would you say it? You know, God was a friend to my father. And my father was even known as a friend of God. And I guess the power that I had and the knowledge that I had gained went to my head, and I lost all real sense of God's presence. It was only later in my life that I realized my mistake, and that is why I urge all of you to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now's the time to work on that relationship before all your ideals and all your hopes are blown away by the wind and your days become empty and meaningless. That's what happened to me, and my book is a result where I had to conclude all is vain. So take it from me. Without God, everything you strive for and everything you do is vain. Now, I know that you know God differently than I do. You know him, or you should know him, in the person of Jesus Christ. I knew him only as this vague promise that was given to my father David, but you know him. You know him as Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know the type of sacrifice he had to make to become like us. And you know the cross on which he was crucified for all of your sin. You know that empty tomb from which he came as a risen king. And the spirit that he gives is now dwelling in you. So you know him. Or am I assuming too much? You know, our whole country says that we are a Christian nation. Our whole country says that we know him in some way. But if that is true, how can there be this whole emphasis in our world, in our country, on success and profit and materialism? Why is our country made of gold, a god of money and success and pleasure? But if I understand the teachings of Jesus correctly, a person who really knows him as his Lord and Savior is going to be a person who understands and likes to live in an entirely different relationship to the world. If you are a Christian, and correct me if I'm wrong, then it is not important that you have many barns full of grain, or that you're sitting at the top chair of an organization or a corporation, and that you don't care that you don't have the biggest house and the fastest car. It's all defined as being successful, you know. I mean, doesn't a Christian live in the consciousness of the presence of God in the whole context of his life, and therefore, as a Christian, you're motivated by the recognition that you are a servant among men, that you follow the example of your Lord, a man who had no roof over his head, a man who only had one pair of shoes, and those were sandals, and one set of clothing and no pillow on which to lay his head. Talk about freedom. There was a man who was free. For he found giving hope to the downhearted and leading the sinner to the light and accepting the outcast and loving the loveless as a part of his very being. You know, that was his kingdom. And if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a citizen of that kingdom. You have been given some wonderful tools from the institutions from which you have graduated, tools of wisdom and knowledge. And the big question is how are you going to use them? You know, the silver spoon that I was born with in my mouth, I used it only to feed myself. I fed myself knowledge without wisdom, and I fed myself pleasure without responsibility. And the result is my book, in which I had to confess that striving for those things without God was vain and meaningless. Now, you know Jesus Christ, so how are you going to use the tools that you have? Now, before you answer, remember these words of Jesus. What does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I was pretty close to doing just that. I literally had gained the whole world. I was king of Israel. But when I let God out of my life, I almost lost my soul. And that is why it was so urgent that I talk with you today. I wanted you to hear it from someone who has been there. I mean, take it from me. I have been to the top. But I found it empty. For I went to the top without God. Later in my book, I wrote these words. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. God bless you, graduates, for a life lived in Christ. Amen. Father, thank you that Solomon shared his journey. We know he tried many things, became very wealthy, satisfied his every desire, even became quite responsible in his task. But he had to tell us that he did it without you, and it was meaningless. Thank you that you have sent Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can have a relationship with him. Thank you that we can strive for the things of this world, but always in the light of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless these young people, all of us gathered here this morning, with understanding that striving after the things of the world is vanity of vanities. Striving for your kingdom is what really brings meaning and fulfillment in our life. Amen.